Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Yep, Reno's in. Welcome in. Treasure Island on this Friday. Steve Cofield, Adam Hill. James is helping us out down at the set. Griffin back on the board. I was just mentioning the Aces game tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7:30 tip. You can hear it right here on 1100, 100.9 FM. Get in price right now. You want to get a pair of tickets? They're $43 a piece, so not bad. Not bad.
Yeah.
Downstairs, a little better tickets. You want like mid-court, about 160.
Quite a bit.
Yes.
Worth it. Great time.
Why you not the chance? What's the problem?
It's a great time.
It
worth
is,
it.
It is against a surging team in the Storm. We're tracking baseball. We got Stanley Cup final coming up tomorrow. More reaction to the Celtics and the Mavs as Boston gets out to a 1-0 start by blowing away the Celtics, as Kyrie Irving simply cannot win on any team going back into the Garden. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Adam, I know you're tracking all the big sporting events in town and around the country. Are you starting to get kind of juiced up? Do you feel the energy? Do you have the gleam, men, about the hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July?
I mean, we're starting to get close. I think there's a little bit different feel this year because it's the week after Connor. So I think it's that week between Connor and the 4th where it's really going to start ramping up.
You have to get past the big fight. You have to get to the big fight and make sure that Connor gets to the big fight.
Yeah, that's what I'm tracking for the moment. But then I think as soon as you have Bruce Buffer in the cage, he reads the scores or the final decision, knockout, submission, whatever. As soon as that moment happens, it's hot dog mode.
Chestnut right now for the 2024 contest is a -2,000 favorite. You get the field for...
It's only because Danny's not in the field.
Plus 700. Danny who?
Danny from the morning shows. He did the 9-9 innings.
Doesn't seem up to snuff with 70-plus in 10 minutes.
He cleared the hurdle easily, though.
Did he?
I think he should enter.
Do you think... I was questioning the other day whether he's an athlete. I was talking just kind of like a normie.
Sure.
This is next level. Is he that kind of athlete, like otherworldly athlete that could put down 30-plus hot dogs in 10 minutes? That's another class.
I mean, he was challenged to one thing, and he answered the call, so that's possibly... I know you were talking about putting together like some sort of decathlon of events.
I was not talking about putting anything together. I just had mentioned the other day because Caleb Herring was questioning the athleticism of someone. And I just said simply to Caleb, I think that I could cross you over. Now I have like 20 years on Caleb and I'm woefully out of shape. That's all I mentioned. And then people started talking about 3-on-3 games and all this other nonsense.
Well, I think if we're going to have competitions... The hot dog eating should probably be part of it.
I don't think that one would be clear. Actually, at this point, physically, I don't know that anything would be cleared by the... we have a lot of attorneys. We have to clear this stuff.
We'd have to do it off campus.
A lot of waivers.
Sure.
A lot of waivers. So, I noticed that one of the qualifiers just went down, because they have qualifiers around the country. And this one was in Ohio at some event. I think it was like Ribbon Rock in the Cleveland area, and Nick Weary was qualifying there. And Mickey Sudo, his wife, was alongside, not eating, but she was there. And this was yesterday, if I believe. Nick finished second to Patrick Bertoletti, who's a legendary eater.
Sure.
Bertoletti did 48.5. That's a nice number.
Not enough.
Well, not enough, but you could build, can he get to like 60? Can he get to high 50s? Can Chestnut have a bad day? Weary did 48. Very solid. Now, here's the thing. What I'm amazed at, because the hot dog eating contest, you know this, with MLE, Major League Eating, everyone knows that, and IFOCE, International Federation of Competitive Eating, there's lots of events, and everyone has an expertise. Like, Chestnut's not the best at every food.
True.
So apparently Weary is developing a reputation as like a real donut eater.
I mean, it sounds less disgusting than eating a lot of hot dogs.
He did the hot dog eating contest yesterday. Then I see some publicity on Mickey's Facebook page that they're going to be at a donut eating contest today. I'm like, he ain't competing. There's no way. That's the crazy part of this. Because we've talked to Chestnut. He's like, yeah, it takes a couple of days to, like, you got to clear all of that out.
Well, it's dessert.
No. You got to get it out of your system.
That's like doing a triathlon.
I tweeted at Mickey, because we're very good friends, and Weary was on there, and I was like, Nick's not eating donuts today after hot dogs yesterday. He texts back. He's like, did 61 and a half glazed donuts. I'm like, what is going on here? Impressive. And you're going to throw Danny at me?
That's impressive to go back to
that. These are not regular human beings.
That's like Kendrick. It's Drake just dropping a second,
oh my God.
A second track right away. That's impressive for sure. I will say what's less impressive. I was watching a TikTok earlier. I'm in your world, the TikTok world.
You have to be.
Of somebody that tested the, I'll be careful. I almost said a brand. Tested a chain restaurant's new all you can eat boneless wing.
Okay, there's a couple offering.
Policy.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's all you can eat, and I think some of that inflation stuff where people are going around complaining about restaurant prices and shrinkflation, I think it's a $20 all you can eat.
It is.
Wings or boneless? Boneless?
Boneless, and apparently there's no time limit.
Holy crap.
So this person stayed for 12 hours.
No.
Tipped both their original server, which is good, and their second server, which I was happy that they did that.
12 hours?
Now here's the disappointing part.
Like 9 a.m. arrival time?
Yeah. No, it was like 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Dude, they had to cut him off. This had to be a John Panette Chinese buffet bit type thing. I don't know if you remember that bit where, you know, the owner of the restaurant comes out and he's like, John Panette, you know, you go. I'm not going to do the Chinese.
There's also a Curb Your Enthusiasm thing this year.
Oh, that's right.
Too many crab legs.
Yep.
First of all, you're very sexist. It's a girl.
Okay, good point.
So they had to cut him off. It's a girl.
You know what? I should know that because I just saw Raina Wong doing monster numbers last week with some noodles.
Well, the issue that I had is that they do this whole thing, 12 hours. Look at this. I stayed here 12 hours. The final total was like 70. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, it wasn't like a competitive eater type woman?
She had 70.
No, it wasn't like Molly Schuyler with the multiple-time wing bowl champion?
And the waitress had said the record is 28. Like, first of all, that's a terrible record. Who's going to this? This is awful. And she only got to 70 in 12 hours.
By the way, I'm looking down the line on our video system. I'm just seeing how Griffin is reacting to this because he's been on the show for about 2 months now. I don't think he's ever heard us talk competitive eating. Oh,
it's
yeah.
One of our favorites.
Oh, yeah. We do it. You know, we're blowing out the Big Four. It's all of it's getting pushed back. So that's it. Here we go. This happens every once in a while because I start going cornholio and I get all hyper. I've been thinking about the hot dog eating contest a lot because last year we thought we had breaking. What?
Just leave it right there. I've been thinking about it a lot.
It's going to break. No. Because when I saw Raina Wong she had some like 6-pound noodle challenge last week in town. We had talked to her and we had also talked to the Wing Bowl champion. I think Molly Schuyler won it like 6 times in Philly. They've neither one of them ever been part of the MLE, so they're not allowed in the Nathans.
Right.
And I think Molly especially knew what she was doing, and she sort of like got me a little too worked up.
Okay.
She said to us in an interview, she's like, never know. It could happen. I was like, oh my God, it's finally going to happen.
Probably not.
And I'm not anti-Mickey, but I would love to. Come on, some of the.
We want real competition. We want everyone in that. Everyone in that has a chance, we want in the competition.
There were some.
It's very exclusionary, and that's our biggest issue with the contest.
There was some lady in the Cleveland qualifier. Her name was like Carla Prettyman. She qualified with 11 hot dogs. I mean, the women's field has got. If they're going to do anything, like, I know they're never going to let Kobayashi back. It's just not going to happen.
No.
I mean, it should because, you know, you're getting close to the end of the line where neither one of them is going to be in their prime.
Well, they're both past their prime.
I mean, Chestnut's still, he's still pumping out 66, 68, 70. I don't know what Kobayashi's doing because he has to go to these dog and pony show things in freaking, you know, whatever. I want to curse right now. You know, some hellhole in Missouri in front of a gas station eating hot dogs.
Yeah, he's going to eat glazed donuts instead. It's unfortunate.
I was hoping Skylar, I was hoping Reyna would be in.
All we want is one time in the next 3 years, an open competition. Everyone's in. Whoever is actually good enough to compete, competes.
Yep.
Don't keep anybody away because they won't sign your very overbearing contracts.
Yeah. I mean, let's make the comparison. This will help, you know, Griffin kind of get involved here if he doesn't know competitive eating. We're about, I think, a year away from looking around the heavyweight division in UFC and going, really? Francis Ngannou's not going to be allowed to fight against any of these guys?
Yeah.
And that's Kobayashi and Chestnut.
Yeah.
It's been totally silly. I'll mention one more thing on this because we blew out the Big Four, and rightly so. Competitive eating is really heating up in June, and the hot dog contest comes up on July 4th. Nick Weary, who I just mentioned, about 2 weeks ago was in a donut hole eating contest. That's the kind of thing I think that we could do.
Yeah.
I would not, but I think that if you want to challenge Danny from the morning show, how many donut holes could you do, say, in like 10 minutes? As they were branded, we'll give them one pop here at Dunkin' Munchkins.
Yeah, Munchkins, that's their donut.
Which I loved as a kid.
I'm going to say I probably couldn't do many right now. Like, at all.
Are you still trying to avoid sweets and sugar?
Well, just trying to do as much non-sugar as possible. But it's not even, like, the fact of eating the sugar. It would be just more, I feel like my body would just get overwhelmed by sugar if I just popped a bunch of Munchkins right now.
You'd have to train.
Yeah, I'd have to train for sure. Build it up.
How do you train for mega sugar intake?
Like Jolly Ranchers every day.
Pixie sticks. They had 8 minutes. 8 minutes.
For Munchkins?
Pixie sticks. For donut holes, as we'll call them.
In 8 minutes?
8 minutes.
I'm going to go.
Don't go crazy. Come on.
I mean, I think the fair number is like 130.
Not even close.
What is it?
Nick Weary. Our guy finished second with 317.
Okay. Here's the thing. I was going to say four a minute. So I would have been very close. Or 40 a minute. But then I was like, you said don't go crazy. So I was like, well, that might be kind of crazy. So I would have been right on.
Yeah, he didn't win. A guy named James Webb did 354 donut holes in 8 minutes.
That's impressive.
40 plus a minute.
It's impressive. I mean, it's definitely more impressive than our 60 McNuggets in a show.
You did the 60. No, I thought you did 100. I think it was 100 minutes and 100 nuggets in 60 minutes.
Yeah, the problem was they started to get cold.
Yep.
They started to get cold and it got
so
real gross.
They were so bad because they got like oversteamed and they were soggy.
Yeah.
We allow dipping, right?
Yeah, but you don't.
We had to.
But then it ruins them. I mean, it ruins them and it just ruins
the rubber.
Your system, too.
Because that was the key thing back around the Dream Team. They said he could do 100 nuggets in 60 minutes, and we tried it, and you vomited. Someone else got real sick.
But after the show.
And I tapped out at like.
It was after.
I might have done like 28 in an hour.
It was not a reversal. I got through it. It was after the show that it happened.
Yeah, I did get a picture of you. Again, another kind of grainy picture of you running away.
Yeah.
I could see you hustling to hit the bathroom. Should I mention all the great food here at Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar?
Sure.
After we're talking about you hurling. Now, this is a great place. Come on down. 55-plus TVs. All of these specials are available every day. That includes the mini pork bites as an app. I mean, it is a plate of pork heaven.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Well, that break was a bummer. You and I were talking competitive eating because the hot dog eating contest is coming up in less than 4 weeks. We were mentioning, and see, this is what happens. You don't make the dream matchups. At some point, they can't happen. And Griffin was doing some research. I missed this on May 23rd. Kobayashi, because we were talking about Chestnut and his dominance in the sport, told a Netflix doc that he's retired from competitive eating. Said, it's all I've done for the last 20 years. Remember, he was the guy who broke the 50 barrier before Chestnut came along. He also said the decades of overeating for the sport, there's a danger in this, folks. That's why they're unreal athletes walking that line. Decades of overeating for the sport have left him with no appetite and no sensation of fullness. His wife, Maggie James, said it has caused Kobayashi to go days without eating anything at all. Damn. Mm-hmm. Can you carry this?
Sad. I'm choosing to believe this is just a negotiating ploy.
I don't think so.
I think it is.
I'm going to have to watch this documentary tonight on Netflix to see a negotiating ploy for what? The Shays don't want him back.
Maybe now it'll generate some interest of people saying, you never made the matchup we all wanted, and they'll be forced to reach out and make a deal.
A Kobayashi quote, I hear people say they're hungry, and they look very happy after they've eaten. I'm jealous of those people because I no longer feel hunger.
It's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Why are you laughing?
It's so sad.
It's a legit story. What is?
I know, but it's so sad.
So your reaction to it kind of is.
Yeah.
Your reaction to sadness is just to start chuckling.
Yeah. Because it shouldn't be as sad as it is.
No.
And I'm also devastated that we're never going to see the matchup that the entire world demanded.
Devastated is a good word.
Yeah.
I'm not devastated that we're going to see Jake Paul and Mike Tyson on July 20th, but I'm hopeful. But you know, I'm not going to get too excited. Rescheduled for November 15th. Football season at the Jerry Dome? Wow. Still?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
It's an open weekend. Okay. Give them an event.
All right.
I know that they wanted this fight because I believe it's the first ever Netflix boxing event, right? And I had heard some people around Netflix kind of saying this is going to be their first fight. Even if they have to postpone it, they have to move it around, whatever they have to do, this will be their first fight. I know they want to do some other fights, so they want this to launch it. They want this to be their foray into that world. And so they were going to make it happen somehow, some way. Now, if it falls through again, which it very well could and probably should, then I'm sure they're going to make some changes. But for right now, they are really, really pushing to make sure this happens. And it's the Texas Athletic Commission, so who knows?
What does that mean?
If you want a license to fight,
right,
and you shouldn't be fighting, go to Texas.
Short of seeing Tyson in a wheelchair again, he's fighting.
Short of? They could roll him out to the ring. It's Texas.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor up on IG with a couple of posts showing himself in a hospital bed. Are we doing this or not?
Yeah, I think that was 2 days ago.
Okay. That's good.
Then yesterday he put up some sparring footage. Last night I was sitting around looking at Instagram, and all of a sudden it popped up into my feed, and I just kind of chuckled. First of all, he didn't look great, but you know, he's just sending these messages from 2 days ago of, oh, I'm in a hospital bed. But it looked like what he was trying to say is, if you want to really try to interpret and, you know, read Conor, which is tough to do, he was kind of saying, hey, had some stuff to get checked out, got some good news.
All good.
Let's go.
Okay.
And I feel like that's at least the narrative they're trying to push right now. So we'll see. Right now it's still on. And I ask, literally every day I send a text to some people around the organization. Good? Still good? Is he fighting? We're going forward. Everything is planned. So far, so good. So we'll see.
You know, we don't tell enough old-timey UFC stories, and the sport's not that old, but you're one of the folks who covered it when it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I forgot how many weird stories you have. And we happen to be hanging out, last week?
Yeah.
Which is funny, because Griffin's like, he was complimenting the show and the chemistry you have, and he's like, oh, you guys hang out all the time? And I'm like, nah. I'm like, maybe like once every 4 months. Busy guy, right?
Friday night after the show, we went out.
Oh, that's right. JVT, JVT could meet up. But anyway, you brought a friend with you, who I know, and he knows the fight world. And you guys were talking about, like, think about how big Conor McGregor is and how rich he is and how famous he is. You guys were talking about, I didn't even realize this is how it happened. You got to kind of shoot the bull and follow him for a very informal interview because his handler at the time, and you were covering UFC, but I guess Conor wanted to go to breakfast?
Well, the whole thing was Conor was doing a series of interviews. It was the day before Pacquiao Mayweather.
And this is when UFC is like, hey, we got to get this guy out there.
Yeah.
And build him up. He hadn't been built up yet.
So he was doing a series of interviews, and I proposed, hey, like, you're going to drive him around town like in basically a limo. It's an SUV limo, whatever it is. But you're just taking him from spot to spot doing interviews. Can I just shadow him and do a story on, like, what it's like to be an emerging superstar in the UFC with all these media obligations? And, of course, they had to run it by Conor, and he said, yeah, no problem. And it ended up just being me, a PR person, Conor, and Dee, who's his longtime, I don't think they ever fully got married, longtime fiance.
Right.
So it's just us four in a car, and we're taking him back to the airport, and he said, no, I want to go eat first. I don't want to go to the airport. So we went to a very popular local breakfast place. Conor in his, whatever, three-piece suit, just dressed to the nines. Me hanging out, and it
did
was
you get breakfast?
Wild experience. I did.
What'd you get?
He made me. I think it was an omelet or something.
What do you usually get an omelet?
But he also walked in. I should also say,
sorry, I'm doing Larry King here. With
they actually have a really good omelet at the spot. I'm sure, people probably figure it out, but okay. It's basically just ham, sausage, bacon omelet. Really good.
But it's not like a house that has omelets.
No. I would have taken him there, but we went right next to the airport.
Okay.
At Sunset and Eastern.
Okay.
People figure that out.
Okay.
So we went there. He walked right in, said, hey, I'm late for a flight. Here's $100. Make our food next. It was a very crowded restaurant.
Wow. Okay.
Which is a cool move. Now, the reason it's funny, like, the story was fun to write. It was cool to hang around Conor for a full day. Basically, we just talked about 90s hip-hop the entire day, which is fun.
Really? We're talking, like, what year is this?
I'd have to go look when the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, maybe it was 2015?
Okay.
16, maybe? And so one of my favorite parts of the story is that, you know, this happened, and it was a very cool experience, and then Conor obviously blew up even bigger after that. But a couple years later, Conor posted a happy anniversary post to Dee. You know, his longtime girl. They've been together since, like, high school. Happy anniversary. We've been through a lot together. And posted 10 photos, like, in a gallery. One of them was them at this breakfast place.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can see me in the car with just my arm hanging out waiting for them as they took a photo in front of a very one of my favorite places in town, but a very, very casual breakfast place with him very dressed up.
And that was, he's like, I love this picture.
He's like, you know what? This is a 3 or 4 year old photo. I'm posting it.
It was probably you and your 90s hip hop conversation.
You want to get my arm in there?
Sure.
You could definitely tell it's my
arm.
Like,
what a great day.
Very weird, too.
What a great day I had.
Yeah.
When I could still remember things and I could show up for breakfast.
Yeah.
The good old days.
It was crazy. And he stood out not because he was Conor McGregor, but because he was so well-dressed. I think there was a couple of people that recognized him for sure. But mostly it was just people like, why is that guy so dressed up?
This is the best thing about being a writer, correct?
What's that?
Like going to breakfast with Conor McGregor.
That doesn't usually happen.
Or I told Arash the story. Arash Markazi, who's Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, likes writing features, you know, real big stadium and trip guy, event guy. I told him the other day about your experience and how you blew it with Darren Waller when you were kind of stalking him.
Yeah.
And you chose the exit with 30 cars versus the exit with 6 cars.
Yeah.
And he went out the exit with 6, and you're standing like a dummy over by the 30-car
line. Yeah. What'd he say?
He actually admitted that he would have done the same thing,
yeah.
That he often loses out in these scenarios. He makes the wrong guess.
Yeah. I'd give it a try.
But that he would do that, too.
Sure.
And he...
What do you do to
you
get
probably,
a story?
You probably learned that from him, I would assume.
Okay.
You're on Arash's tree, right?
No.
Okay. Did you ever answer? We talked early in the show. We were talking about our former boss, Tony Bonici, Jesse Leeds. They're going into the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame for their contributions to building what we call the LV Sports Network, which is all our stations down here in Las Vegas, and obviously they're a big part of what goes on in Reno with Lotus Broadcasting. Not now, but they have been. When we were talking to Mitch Moss about all of this earlier, I mentioned trees, broadcasting trees, writing trees. So we never officially determined whose tree you're on. I guess you were actually on the superstar sports dude tree.
Sure. Also,
because he gave you your start at like 16, 17 years old, 17 years old in radio.
I'll throw a random one that you know, like, I could also be considered maybe part of Zig's tree.
Zig Fricassi.
Sure.
Frank Andrews. Yeah.
I did not a formal internship, but a couple shifts.
Oh,
basically
wow.
Learning how to pull audio at the old Sportsman Radio Network where you also were.
Yes.
And he not only taught me that, but just would, like, opened up about all his radio knowledge of sharing it with me.
He's got so much.
He does.
He's got so much.
He does.
And he's follow him on Twitter because he's happy. He really is happy for everyone else in the biz who's doing well. You'll see that on his tweets.
Sure.
It's good stuff.
Sure. So I'm going to say I'm part of that tree. And then I only have one branch on my tree, which is John Von Tobel, which I've claimed before.
You have claimed that before.
He's mine.
He's mine.
Yeah.
I'm taking it.
Yeah.
All right. We got to get to Adam Hill, get involved in TV shows again. I'm very happy about this because I watch a lot of TV, a lot of sports TV, a lot of documentaries, and this guy was out of the fold, really out of the mix for like a year, just watching YouTube as he travels all over the place. So we'll get to that, and then a very interesting Adam Silver press conference where he opined on a bunch of topics, including the NBA in Vegas.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
By the way, we were just reminiscing on Adam's writing career. It's like a farewell this week. Yeah. We heard you on multiple outlets. We know you're going somewhere else. And I was saying how cool it is to be a writer. I have cool stories, too. I didn't quite match your Conor McGregor breakfast story, but I do that story that we used to do remotes with fighters at the very kind of beginning blow up of UFC, and boy, they asked for no money. It just wasn't that big. And I remember in my car driving George St. Pierre to go to like People's Mazda for a remote where he sat there for 2 hours and that building has been like 12 different things since. So. But I'm like, I have George St. Pierre in my car. But at the time, he wasn't George St. Pierre. Like, no, you know, it's like he was just building fighters back then. So, by the way, that is one of the coolest stories about UFC and following it over the years, is that fighter pay, while maybe not as big as it should be, like tens of millions, these guys have made a lot of money. And when we were covering it back in, you know, 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, when it started to blow up after the Fertittas bought it, it's changed a lot in 20 years, so. That is a cool transformation with the sport, and that's why I always compare UFC at the beginning to what the sort of upward swing now that WNBA is taking, where they're gonna, you know, they're probably gonna be making a lot of money. Speaking of WNBA, Adam Silver did a press conference. You said quite a press conference. He talked about a bunch of things: expansion, Vegas. Talked about inside the NBA, and then also mentioned Caitlin Clark. So, what was the most interesting thing?
For us, obviously, I think it's Vegas, potential for expansion. And they've been talking about expansion for a while. And obviously, Vegas has long been known to be the front runner for a team when they do expand. And his message was, look, the TV deals are almost done. The media rights deals, we know they're going to be done very soon. It's going to be wrapped up. That's when focus can turn to expansion. And that means Vegas and probably Seattle. He did say he actually wants to expand internationally. That's his plan and his goal, but it's probably not ready for this round of expansion, which means Vegas and Seattle, you're probably up.
I guess I was just thinking about NBA, and I know the plan tentatively is for the there is no tentative plan because there's two different forces vying to build an arena and host the NBA.
Like three, I think.
I wonder. I'm sure there are signed agreements on Bally's with the A's. What a hoot it would be if the NBA came in with prospective owners and they're like, yeah, we want that property. We'll partner with you.
Be awesome.
It's taking a long time for the A's to come up with the rest of their money.
It
would be a hoot.
Although they could, I guess, do that and build both stadiums instead of any casino property. That'd be a wild outcome, but.
What, combine on one building?
No.
Oh, you're saying build both arenas?
Yeah.
Because now we've got a Wet n Wild project that may be closer than ever because they actually picked a designer last week. That's the Wet n Wild property with, like, whatever it is, 27 or 30 acres. And then the other property was the one that's down by Brightline across from the South Outlet Mall, which would be great for you. I mean, that's
would be awesome. I'm all for it.
You're going to start biking to NBA games.
I think they should do just south of the South Point.
There's property down there, too.
Well, they're building a new casino there.
Oh, is that right?
But that'd be perfect to have an arena with it.
God, that is I know you're down there all the time for Raiders. That is like a different world for me.
Well, you're talking West Henderson.
Every time I go down that way, I'm like, I don't.
Well, you're talking more like St. Rose and West Henderson. This is more on Las Vegas Boulevard, just
right.
South of Southmore.
No, I understand.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just nothing there right now. But casino and potentially, I'm proposing an arena that I could walk to.
Oh, so the Brightline property there is not close enough for you?
No.
I can't walk.
Oh, I could. It's only like 4 miles, but I would like to, you know, walk to work. Be nice.
I'm excited for this coming up. I think Clipped could be one of the best docudramas that we've ever seen in sports because the character, like, we read about most of the stuff. We read about it with Donald Sterling. Ed O'Neill is Donald Sterling, and the wackiness of Sterling and those Clippers. Clipped. We're going to start breaking it down.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
T.I., as we're checking out all the games, watching some Major League Baseball, a little college baseball as well. You know what? That's not college baseball. Those uniforms, those hats, that threw me off. Those hats for the Tigers, you like these?
Which ones are they wearing today?
Their uni actually looks like more of a college baseball uniform. I don't think you can see the TV. It's back over your right shoulder. But we do have college baseball right here with West Virginia playing. West Virginia, North Carolina. If you look to your left, it's right over your shoulder. They have so many TVs here. Yeah, the Detroit hat. You'll see it on the picture in a second. That game scoreless. Check that. Not scoreless. 8-0 Milwaukee's on top. Oops. 8-0. 8-0 Milwaukee. 5 in the second. 3 in the fourth.
I like it.
Do you?
Just the simple, plain lettering. That's where we're from.
Is that a corduroy hat?
I hope so. They're not working.
What does that mean?
I mean, they're just getting crushed.
No, that's not a good luck hat. Not a collector's item hat. They're getting destroyed.
Jerseys are great.
Man, I like them.
Motor City jerseys?
Yankees, Dodgers scoreless. Top three in New York. Dodgers having to dig a little deep on the pitching staff. Who they going with today? Oh, no, Yamamoto. Okay. Scoreless in the third. So, this is TV season, as I mention all the time, not only for sports, but Adam Hill, most of the year, is watching stuff on YouTube because he can't sit in front of a TV because he's traveling the world.
You know what's funny, though?
Covering a bunch of different teams around Vegas and beyond.
You listed some things from television to go over right now on the rundown. One of them I saw on YouTube.
Well, you did.
Yeah, I saw the clip on YouTube. I didn't watch the actual show.
Okay. You did watch. You watched Clipped.
I did. Only the first two episodes are out right now.
Okay, I'm going to, real briefly, we've talked about having, if you have a bunch of packages, sometimes you can get lost. Did you have the Hulu thing? Was that an issue for you?
The Hulu.
Like, it's in your Disney pack, or was that ESPN?
I now have all three.
Okay.
The bundle.
I kept seeing Hulu charging me. 2 days ago, I went to watch Clipped, and I'm like, where is it? And then today, I actually took like an extra 5 minutes, and I'm like, okay, I have to go this way into this service, and I found it. So I didn't get to watch as much as you did because I was really frustrated the other night. I'm like, I thought it was out. I can't see it.
Yeah.
So I watched some today. Of Clipped, if you don't know what this is, it's Donald Sterling, his downfall, this V. Stiviano, the wife, the Sterling wife's in it. Obviously, she was a big character in this whole thing. I mean, they've got a lot of basketball in there. They've got Larry Fishburne playing Doc Rivers. You know, height appropriate with the NBA athletes, actor, no. But they've got a Chris Paul. They've got a... Don't tell me that ruins it for you.
It does a little bit.
You know what?
I think you haven't seen it yet because it's an episode two.
Yeah.
And the internet has blown up about this.
Oh, no. Don't spoil it.
Steph Curry is just...
Oh, it's really bad. It's really, bad selection.
Really bad.
But you have to admit, reading the crazy stuff that Sterling did and said, is one thing. To watch someone in a portrayal, like, say it on video as part of a documentary or drama, is incredible.
It is, but
what
also
a freaking bizarre dude, and what it must have been like to be around him.
Yeah, I do wish they wouldn't have cast somebody so recognizable, because you just see Al Bundy doing Donald Sterling.
I'm mostly buying into it.
He's a good actor,
but I get your point. Sometimes you just need an unknown.
Yeah, I just keep seeing Al Bundy, but he's good. V. Stiviano, I think she's doing a great job. I'm going to pull a local sportscaster. This is a deep cut.
Oh, really?
The actress playing V. Stiviano, way too hot to be V. Stiviano. And,
really?
By the way, Australian.
Okay.
The actress is Australian. Stunning.
She's doing a great job.
Yeah?
Boy, she got him over a barrel. I'm not even into the meat of this thing. Unbelievable how they got duped.
Yeah.
They're so dopey.
Although,
deserved it, though.
Although she, in episode 2, she makes a massive mistake.
Okay,
so.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I will spoil something. There's an amazing, well, here's the thing. Donald Sterling really got in trouble, you know, the most trouble for how racist he was and getting it down on tape. But there is a moment where they're talking about bringing in J.J. Redick, and I was like, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was?
Well, there was a lot to it.
They had an offer sheet for J.J. Redick, and he's talking to Doc Rivers about it, and then he's like, no, I want to rescind the offer sheet. He's like, I didn't realize he was white.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, that part.
What is
great. I don't know he's white. I'm out.
I don't want J.J. Redick.
Well, there's great just the way that he ran the team or whatever. That in episode 2, and it's not giving away like a plot line, but they're in like a team meet. They're like a meeting of executives, Doc Rivers and like the higher ups, and Donald Sterling has called in, and he's on speakerphone, and he's just random thought after random thought, and they've just got him on mute, and they're just going about their meeting, and every once in a while, he's like, "Am I still on with?" And they're like, "Yeah, what is it, Donald?" And he just
so
every stream of consciousness, random thought that he has.
Huh.
It's great.
It was real life.
Yeah,
watch it. I'm telling you, it's great. Clipped. The downfall of Donald Sterling and his Clippers.
Only 2 episodes are out, which sucks. I wish they would have dropped the whole thing, but.
And you know, I can't wait to see it completed. And I'm already there. I think one of the conclusions out of this is going to be, what the F was David Stern doing? He is, to this point, and he's deceased. He is so lucky that people really didn't know what was going on.
Well, I think, yeah, if you go back and look at the timeline, I believe Adam Silver had just taken over like mid-season or maybe just before the season when this all started to happen, which was in the playoffs. So, I mean, yeah, he had allowed it to happen, and then he's just like, here, take over the league. I know what's coming.
Yeah. He's your problem now.
Yep. Enjoy.
So when I said real life.
Also, yeah. I don't know how far you've gotten, but I don't know what you've seen all. I kind of think the most hateable person is Shelly Sterling.
I don't think I've seen it yet.
Okay.
I don't think she's a likable person.
They kind of try to make her redeeming, but I'm like, no, I'm not buying it. I hate you.
Can I tell you, I'm actually thrown off by that actress because God almighty, I cannot remember what show she was on.
West Wing, I think, was one.
I'll look it up. Now, this is a throwback. She's like, this is so dumb to mention.
Well,
I'm not even doing it. This is such an aged reference. I'm not doing it.
Well, I was going to say, I keep thinking she's Sally Struthers.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Wow, I guess it's not that old. Because the other show I saw her in, I'm like, that's Sally Struthers, right? But she's smaller than, because this lady's only like 4'11".
Yeah.
But yeah, she was in another series just as a corporate, mean badass. Actually, you know what? She's in Yellowstone.
Okay.
And I know
Jackie Weaver.
Yeah, and I was like, and by the way, look her up.
Also Australian.
Australian.
Yeah.
Yep. Boy, how old are you? Oh. I was getting on myself for, I was like, I cannot do an All in the Family Sally Struthers reference. And you beat me to it. How about that?
Well, I'll also say.
Were you watching with someone who's.
My mom's also watching.
So your mom mentioned
and she's
it.
Like, Sally Struthers is the. Yeah. And I was like, no, she's.
Tell your mom to talk about this. That's awesome. There you go. That's great. So I keep saying real life situation. You did watch all of Curb Your Enthusiasm, right? You got through it and you got to the finale?
I did.
Did you see this whole thing that Larry David admitted around the death of Richard Lewis?
I was watching the clip with him with Jimmy Kimmel on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, any Larry David interview pops up in my algorithm every time. His Conan interviews are awesome. But, yeah, he was on with Jimmy Kimmel, and I did watch the clip. The whole interview was pretty great. But it ended with basically not a confrontation, but it was all right, we need to address this. And Jimmy Kimmel says, we had you booked the night after the Oscars. You know, it's a big show for us. We always want to get a big guest. You were our guy. And then, you know, you call Thursday because it's Thursday before the Monday you were going to be on. And you're like, hey, I'm just so sorry. You know, my friend Richard Lewis died. I'm just not in the mood to go, you know, fake happiness and do a show. And Kimmel was like, yeah, I totally understood it. It was great. And then I show up for an Oscars party, and you're there just having a great time.
I didn't know that's how you got him.
Yeah. And Larry
David was at the party then?
Yeah. And Larry David is like,
oops.
Yeah. And he knew that. I mean, there was nothing. He just said, he goes, here's what happened. I used the death of my friend as an excuse not to do your show. He basically just said, like, that's exactly what happened.
Wait, this was on an episode of Curb?
You would think so, but it was actually on Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Because Curb is Larry David.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
That's what he does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought the whole interview was great. There's a lot of great stuff in there, but definitely that part was the highlight. It was the end. It was like the last thing in the interview.
Wow. Yeah, I saw someone react to it on Twitter. Someone up at the Chosenberg under Rosie said, I hope my friends also use my death to get out of their various obligations. What a beautiful way to honor someone's memory.
Yeah, I do feel like Richard Lewis would have appreciated it.
Almost every person on this thread is like, that's what Richard would have wanted.
Of course. Of course.
Because it's true to him and true to Larry David.
I mean, so good. On a side note, I was also listening to a Colin Quinn interview the other day. And he said, you know, one of his favorite memories, he was very, very close with Norm MacDonald. And he was sharing a lot of memories about Norm MacDonald. He said one of the funniest things he did was we had done a tour, like, just before he got really sick. And it was really fun. We were great. And we also, you know, it was successful. So we made some money. It was cool. And he said just before Norm MacDonald died, he called him up and he's like, hey, love that tour. We should do it again. And he didn't even know he was sick because Norm MacDonald didn't tell anybody he was sick. And he said, hey, I love that tour. It was great. He's like, the next couple weeks, spend all your time booking us a bunch of dates like next year. I really want to do that again. Knowing he was going to die. Basically giving him a task.
One of his final jokes.
Yeah, giving him a task, knowing he wasn't going to make it through to do the tour. And he's like, I'm just going to make him waste his time setting up these shows that aren't going to happen.
One more documentary to mention, sports. We've said all along since this was announced, because people were outraged that Netflix was going to spend $50 million on a Jerry Jones documentary. I know on this show, I've said this could be the greatest sports documentary in the history of sports. And we've all looked at it and said, but are they going to do it? Are they really going to do it? Do you believe? Not finish it. Like, do it the right way.
No.
No.
They won't.
Yeah, Griffin had the note today that Skip Bayless is set to appear in this docuseries. So.
I'm out.
You know, the other thing is a lot of people said 10-part docuseries or 8-part docuseries. Like, how much is there on Jerry Jones? I'm like, you could do 50 episodes. Yeah, 30, or what are you talking 30 about? Parts. Every season.
There's plenty of material. If you did it right, they're not going to do it right.
Yep.
So I probably won't watch.
Well, you'll give it a chance. Like, we all gave the...
I'll tell you that I might
Netflix
not.
Netflix also do the... The Swamp.
That's literally what I was just going to bring up.
That was one of the worst ever.
Yeah, literally what I was going to bring up because I knew who was part of it. I knew it wasn't going to be real, and I did not watch it.
So bad.
As excited as I was when I heard about it, once I knew who was part of it, I was out.